It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Quarterback sweep around the left side. Parker has it at the 15 to the 10, 5, and goes in. Touchdown, Parker Gates around the left end.
That's Parker.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
To the 25-20, cut back inside of the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Parker Gates.
Still Parker.
Whoops, how about this one?
Back to Gates. Gates, another open three. Good again. Nothing but net as Parker's knocked down two in a row for the Blue Jays.
Still Parker.
Okay, I think I got it.
Baseline, Parker Gates. Head fake. Way up. Good. And a foul on third string. Parker Gates scores it for the Blue Jays.
Nope.
For crying out loud, Dusty, are there any highlights with Riley in them?
Try this.
Benary fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Geiler. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there as well as Caleb Brummer.
Nailed it.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that. But just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go Powercats' very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
Ah, oh, that tricky Dusty messing with the cut number and putting in the Parker intro. Man, that's when I thought people didn't touch my stuff. Hey, Riley, how's it going?
Man, how disappointing of Dusty. I thought we had a little bit better trust in him than that.
How disappointed are we in Dusty? Every day, Riley, every day. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com is with us. Talk K-State Athletics. Got a lot to cover here today. Well, let's start with the Sunflower... I don't know, you want to call it meltdown, just which team was going to lose the game. First half was really, really bad. Second half, we at least had some more offense in the game, and K-State wins thanks to Peyton Bender losing the grip on the football, and K-State wins. It would have been, I don't know, for some, maybe the final nail in the coffin for this season, of course, if they lost to KU, but K-State finds a way to win. Can you take any big-time positives out of this win for K-State other than they didn't lose?
No, not really. You know, that's kind of what it felt like at the end. It was like, well, you didn't lose, I guess. You know, there were some things kind of, you know, the offense obviously picked up. Alex Barnes had a pretty solid day on the ground. But, you know, again, I think that kind of goes back to the level of competition you're facing. You know, recently it's been kind of back and forth with the running game and Alex Barnes. And obviously he did eclipse 1,000 yards in the season, which is, really good to see. And, you know, the offense did come to life in the second half, so it's not to say that the entire game was a negative, but there's no reason that that KU should have been up at halftime, and there's no reason that they should have shut out K-State in the first half. I mean, it's not like KU had that stout of a defense. This was another game where K-State continued to beat itself in multiple ways, you know, whether it was a mistake on special teams, whether it was not capitalizing on KU mistakes. I mean, heck, they got the ball at the KU 25 or something like that one time, and they didn't even get a field goal because they botched a snap on the field goal. So, you know, at the end of the day, you walk away from this one and you say, well, didn't lose to KU. I guess bull hopes are alive for another week, but I don't really see how you can look at this game and feel super excited about the next two, you know.
No, if you play like this against anybody else, probably in any other school in a Power 5 conference, with the exception of maybe Rutgers, I don't think you win that game. It helped that you were playing Kansas, no question about it. I mean, Kansas really controlled things in the first half and was only up 3-0. And at that point, of course, I never did think Kansas was going to win this game because Kansas is Kansas when it comes to football. And they proved that at the end. And then the hilarity of the trying to hide a flag, I mean, it got to be just comical but yet somewhat sad and embarrassing. Really, to both schools there for a while with the mistakes that both made. It just came down to the one that made the least amount of mistakes, but both made plenty. You mentioned special teams, and Coach Snyder addressed that after the game. He had a bit of a change in his tone. He started to, I don't know if you want to say started to go there. He blamed himself. He did blame coaching, but he didn't throw anybody under the bus this week in regards to special teams.
Yeah, you know, he did take responsibility as a coach saying that he needs to be able to put players in the right spot, and you got to give him a little bit of credit for, I guess, making sure he didn't throw a player under the bus, but also you need to still be critical. I mean, this is three straight weeks where there's been special teams mistakes, and Sean Snyder has yet to accept any of the blame for this. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to publicly sit here and say that Bill Snyder is wrong in what he's doing, but he had no problem throwing Dana Dimmel under the bus last year when the offense was struggling. He's had no problem throwing other coordinators under the bus when their units are struggling, but when special teams are struggling, it's either a player's fault or his fault. He's never going to take blame, or he's never going to put blame on Sean, and frankly, I don't understand it. He should be treated the exact same as any other coordinator. I understand, you know, we talked about it last week, you know, the whole protecting of your son, being a protective father, and I understand that. I get it. You don't want to throw your kid under the bus. I don't think you would want to throw your kid under the bus, Wade, but also I feel like if it was obvious that your kid was struggling so much at something, you would, and I'm not saying you have to trash him if you're Bill Snyder, you just say, you know, Sean needs to have his special teams in a better place. Sean needs to have them more ready to go. I mean, to sit here and completely ignore the facts that you want to give credit to Sean when it's good, but when it's bad, you want nothing to do with Sean Snyder having responsibility for the special teams. To me, that's unacceptable from any head coach, and honestly, it's getting borderline very annoying to week in and week out hear him create excuses for Sean Snyder's unit.
Yeah, I hear you, and I think if he would just simply say, and he can say whatever he wants to say, but if he's like, you know, Sean and I, or he could even not even have to say Sean's name, he could just say, well, the special teams coaches and I have sat down, and we're really working on trying to figure this out, and we are as frustrated as anyone else is, and, you know, at least it kind of brings Sean into it, but it's almost like Sean doesn't exist.
Exactly, that's all I'm saying. It's just acknowledge it to an extent. Yeah. You don't even have to talk bad about him. To me, at this point, it feels like he's trying to preserve Sean's name in the next head coaching search, but as he continues to do this kind of stuff, he's only further throwing him under the bus.
I agree. Okay, so let's look at the quarterback situation. What is Skylar Thompson's situation, and do you think he'll play at all in the next couple games?
Well, you know, it sounded like he was out with concussion protocol things all week, so you know I was honestly a little bit shocked to hear that, because I thought that he was, from what I understood, is that he got the okay to play at TCU, and so maybe something happened along the lines to where it got a little bit worse. I'm not sure, but I would imagine by now he's probably going to be healthy enough to play on Saturday. But I still don't think we're going to see him unless Alex Delton starts struggling. You know, throwing the touchdown pass at TCU. Running in the game-winning score here against KU, I think that Alex Delton has the hot hand right now, and you know, you can credit that to lack of Skylar Thompson playing, and you'd be certainly right. I mean, he's played about seven, 8 minutes over the last 2 weeks, so you know, you gotta take that into consideration when you talk about the hot hand, but also you can't ignore the fact that Alex Delton is playing pretty well right now. So I think that he'll play again here against Texas Tech. But, you know, if he struggles again like he did against Texas a few weeks back, I guess it was 5 or 6 weeks ago, I think you could see Skylar Thompson get back in the game. But I don't know if you're going to see him start this coming Saturday.
All right, I want to talk about a story that has made – it's reached the national media. It was on CBSSports.com. It's on your guys' website, GoPowerCat.com. Ryan Wallace with the story about – Kansas State and the bowl games that they've had, and some of the players not getting their bowl rings, in particular the most recent bowl win when they knocked off UCLA. What can you tell us about this story? Because it does not provide a good look for Bill Snyder or the university or the program when there's already a lot of smoke around the program, and then you add this into the equation.
Yeah, it doesn't look good at all. And, you know, terrific work by Ryan Wallace here on this one. He's been grinding away at this for a few months now, trying to make sure everything was tied up on all the loose ends and making sure this story was accurate, this story was truly what's going on, and it sure is, you know. So what it sounds like here is that you have a case of Bill Snyder and Sean Snyder being bitter that certain players are leaving the program before they graduate and use up their eligibility, whether it be a decision to transfer, whether they've graduated early and they've decided to quit football, they've decided that they can no longer, you know, afford to go to school if they're a walk-on or something like that. And basically, players that have left the program throughout the last few years, and heck, it even dates back to Snyder 1.0, and they've left before they graduated from K-State or they left on bad terms, the coaches have decided to hold their bowl rings. And players have contacted K-State. They've said, hey, I was wondering when I get my bowl ring. You said I could get it here from you guys, like you're going to mail it to me, whatever. And either K-State will respond and say, yeah, we'll mail it to you, but they never do. Or K-State will just flat out not respond. And we've seen that case with a lot of people here. I think the most alarming thing of this story is that you can sit here and you can say that everybody's treated the same. You shouldn't get the ring if you quit. You know, you can have that opinion if you want. But the problem here is that what Bill Snyder is saying, what their quote-unquote rules are, they're not lining up with what is actually taking place. Because I know of a certain kid who left the program after 1 year. He was a walk-on and he transferred to Hayes, and he got his bowl ring. You know, he never played. He was on the scout team. Just decided he didn't want to be at K-State anymore. Transferred to Hayes, now he's just a student. He got a bowl ring. But then you have someone like Daniel Sams, who was, you know, a part-time starting quarterback for 2 years, and he never receives his Buffalo Wild Wings bowl ring. Why? Because he didn't exactly leave on the best of terms. When we approached Coach Snyder about it, he said that you need to graduate to get your bowl ring, but obviously that is not accurate either. Okay. So they're getting caught up in their own lives right now. They're getting caught treating these players poorly, and I understand it. You don't want to reward someone for quitting. I'm not by any means advocating for quitting, but you also need to recognize situations change. You know, people want to do different things from time to time. Maybe they need to do different things. Like I said, maybe they're walk-ons and they can't afford to go to school at K-State anymore, so they need to leave the program, and that's where you need to, for lack of a better phrase, get over yourself and give them the ring. They earned it. It doesn't matter if you're the starting quarterback or if you're the third string walk-on left tackle that plays scout team. If you're a part of that team, you earned your ring. You deserve that. And, you know, that was the whole reason we wrote this story and published it, was not to slander Bill Snyder or K-State football. It was to try to right this wrong, because there's a lot of guys out there that deserve these rings, and unfortunately they're not getting them right now.
You know, it's one thing if a guy quits during that particular season, but when you finish the season, you're part of that team, and then you decide to transfer, like you said, or in different situations, there might be really good reasons for you to leave. You didn't quit the team that particular season. Did you quit the program? Well, yeah, I guess that's true, but you know what? They're coaches that basically make kids quit the program. They promise you everything when they recruit you, and then there's basically cut down days, or you're not good enough to be on a scholarship, or they promise this. I mean, how many times have we seen and heard of coaches promising the stars and the moon, the galaxy and the world, and then kids get there on campus and it's not at all what the coaches said it was going to be like? Kids have a right to make that decision to leave a program, just like a coach has the freedom to go for greener pastures, as we've seen many times over. And I think the concerning part about this story to me, and maybe the horse has already left the barn, so it doesn't matter, but that is K-State already has problems recruiting. We already know that the coaching staffs are not on the same page when it comes to recruiting. Bill Snyder doesn't really actively go out and sit in people's homes and say, hey, come to Kansas State. And then you add this. You've got kids already decommitting from the program. I just don't know how a young guy that is thinking about playing Division I football, that's being looked into by Kansas State, K-State has interest in him, this is just another reason for the kid to say, I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, this isn't good. And to add to this a little bit more, I wouldn't have a problem with them taking these rings or not giving out these rings if they had a set rule in place, you know?
Yeah, consistent rule.
You leave the program before you get your bachelor's degree, you don't get it. As fair or as unfair as you might think it is, if you had a consistent rule in place, I would understand it. But someone like Winston Dimmel left the program, and I love Winston Dimmel. He's a pretty good friend of mine now. But, you know, he left the program, and he got his ring. So why did another person not get theirs? It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And, yeah, this is just one more thing that's starting to pile on to why K-State football is kind of going downward right now, you know. I know for a fact there's about two or three recruits out there that might like to come to K-State, but they're a little bit unsure if they really want to be here with Bill Snyder as the coach. You know, who's going to be the coach if he leaves in the next 2 years? Is he going to be here for 5 years and then I don't want to do it? So it's a really bad place right now. I believe that Bill Snyder will be done after this year, whether it's by his choice or by someone else's choice. But if it were me, I would have come out last week and I would have made it known that this is my last season. People would have rallied around me. People would have been okay with whatever transpired on the field. And I get to ride off into the sunset and people have good memories of me moving forward. Right now, it just feels like everybody is rooting against K-State almost. I mean, heck, you know, you had people sitting out there and saying, would it be the worst thing if we lost to KU? Because then you'd know that Snyder's going to be done. And that, to me, is where you're at the point where you say something's got to happen, something's got to change. And it's pretty sad to see it all unfolding this way. You know, never once did I think that in 2018, as Bill Snyder is continuing to lead K-State football, there would be stories written about how he's treating players poorly, how he's not giving people what they have rightfully earned in the program, or, you know, things like that. And, you know, I'm sure that we'll catch some backlash today at the press conference, whether it be from coach, whether it be from a player pretending that they, you know, are fighting for their coach or whatever, and don't get me started on some of that. But it needs to be known, you know, no matter how big of a piece of K-State football Bill Snyder is, and obviously it's nothing without him, that doesn't give you the right to just reign free and do whatever you please. And so, you know, it like I said, it's unfortunate to see this season kind of all unfolding into this right now.
Go Powercats, Riley Gates with us, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket, our K-State Insider. You know, one more thing about Coach Snyder, and we'll move on to Texas Tech and then look at the K-State men's basketball program after a close game last night against Denver, is that I feel pretty strongly about this, and I've thought like this for a very, very long time, and I'm not as close to the situation as you guys covering it, but I just look at Bill Snyder, and I know how, and you have said it in your own words, he's a stubborn man, and a lot of coaches are stubborn, let's be honest. Bill Self's stubborn in his ways. And so, I mean, he likes to do this or that. Now, he adjusts sometimes, but every coach is stubborn in some way or another. Coach Snyder, I've said this before, I don't think he wants to go out this way in regards to not going to a bowl. And definitely, even if they lost to Kansas, I think a lot of people said, well, that's the final nail in the coffin, Snyder's gone. But you could argue the other side of the coin is that Coach Snyder would be like, there's no way I can go out like this. I wanted to put the program in a better place and hand it off. Of course, we know he liked to hand it off to his son, which I think that's a pipe dream now, and probably all along it was. And I just don't see him voluntarily on his own stepping away from this program. I just don't. I think there has to be somebody's going to have to really force his hand to get him to step aside. And we may never know. At the end of the year, Bill Snyder gets up there and says, and he might say all the right things, but we may find out years later when he's gone or maybe still alive that somehow, some way, it wasn't his decision per se. He wasn't fired technically, but that there were some people, whether it's Gene Taylor or Boosters or whoever else or Kansas State as a whole, said, listen, this is our program, and Bill, we think it's time to go. Thank you for everything you've done. Or tried to make him make changes that he isn't willing to do, and so he steps down, but it's going to look like Bill made the decision when all along he had to be forced out. I just don't think he's going to step into Gene Taylor's office at the end of the year and say, listen, I'm done. It's time to hand the torch to somebody else. I just don't see that happening.
I 100% agree with you. And the only way that I slightly differ from your opinion is I could see it getting public to the point where you have to make it known that it wasn't his call.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that Gene Taylor will go to, because I do believe that right now the Boosters are going to Gene and saying, we need to make a change, something needs to happen. And so I believe that Gene will go into Bill Snyder's office and explain the situation. I don't think no matter how much Gene Taylor sits here and pleads his case or explains the benefit to sitting here and making it look like you've made the own decision to retire, I don't believe Bill Snyder will be convinced of that. I believe he'll stick to his guns. He'll dig in his heels, whatever phrase you want to use. And, you know, I've said it a lot to a lot of people out there. I think it's going to get a lot uglier before it gets any prettier. And I hate saying that. It really, it's sad to see that. You know,
yes.
It really sucks to see this probably is what's going to happen. But I, unfortunately, I feel like Gene Taylor is going to have to stand in front of the national media and tell the country that he felt making a change at head coach from Bill Snyder was the best thing in the future interest of K-State football. And no matter how accurate that might be, no matter how much backing he might have, it's without a doubt going to be the toughest thing that one of the toughest things that any athletic director has ever had to do in college sports. So it's, like I said, going to get really ugly, I think. The only way it doesn't get uglier is if he announces, you know, before one of these final two games, they're not going to go to a bowl game, I don't believe. And I guess if he were to announce it then yeah, maybe it is a little bit prettier on the way out. But unfortunately, I think he's gonna want to take some time after the Iowa State game, like he always says he wants to do. But K-State cannot wait. K-State cannot use time to find its new head coach. It needs to be out there. It needs to be searching. And you know, I think KU will have a head coach hired before K-State even knows if Bill Snyder is going to be back next year or not. So it's kind of a tough position right now. And as I've said before, I don't envy being in Gene Taylor's shoes today.
You know, we talk so much about how they don't have a lot of recruits signed and coming in, and there's guys that are decommitting. But one thing we haven't really talked much about, and that is, and we don't know, it's hypothetical, but we're not even considering if there's some players on this team right now that seem to be on board, that if Bill Snyder says, I'm coming back, and K-State allows him to come back, there might be more attrition. And that's something that, you know, I mean, it's already bad enough. It could actually get worse.
Yeah. I'm not going to put names out there because that creates speculation. It creates more of a campaign against Bill Snyder, so I don't want to put it publicly. But let it be known that there is definitely a good handful of players and meaningful ones at that that have definitely floated that idea out there if Bill Snyder were to return next season. It's not a fun situation right now.
And that would be another reason why K-State needs to move on, as you were mentioning earlier. And hopefully it can be handled in a smooth way. But it doesn't sound too promising right now, but we shall see. All right, Texas Tech comes into town. Tech almost beat Texas, a comeback in the fourth quarter. Is there any scenario where you see K-State winning this game against Texas Tech?
The only way that K-State wins this game is if its defense shows up and plays absolutely lights out. But heck, even if they play lights out, I still think Tech can score the ball. This is one of the best offenses in the country. Without a doubt, one of the best offenses in the Big 12. And the sad is they're on their third-string quarterback. You know, Jed Duffy, well, technically Jed Duffy was the backup, I guess, but he's regressed into the third string. And he's still playing well. He still threw for, what, 440 and four touchdowns, I think, against Texas, something like that. Mm-hmm. So this Texas Tech offense is absolutely insane. And, you know, they always say double the offense, half the defense or whatever. And, I don't think that even if Tech plays horrible defense, which, as a matter of fact, Texas Tech's defense has been better this season. They've played well. They have some pretty good talent on that team. I'm actually going to be writing about Dakota Allen today. And if you've seen Last Chance U, you'd know who Dakota Allen is, and he's an impactful player for Texas Tech. So even if Texas Tech's defense comes out and just lays an absolute egg, K-State finds a way to score 30, 40 points, I still think Tech scores 50 or 60 on this K-State defense. So I don't see how K-State can win this game. You've got them at home. You don't really lose to Texas Tech much at home, but also seasons are a lot different than this in the past. So I don't feel comfortable about this one. I'm shocked that Texas Tech is just a mere 8-point favorite or whatever it sits at right now. So if it were me, I'm putting money on Texas Tech and taking the points easily.
Isn't it funny that over the years under a Bill Snyder coach team, we usually will say, well, if they're going to win the game, they're going to have, you know, a kick return for a touchdown. They're going to win the special teams area, and they might win a lower scoring game and they can play ball control. But with how poorly special teams has played this year, you can't even hang your hat on that. So now I think the only thing that you can hang your hat on, and you can't even hang the hat on it at all, you're hoping, is that the quarterback for Texas Tech, Duffy, is prone to turning the ball over. He had three costly turnovers in the red zone against Texas, and they still almost won. So he might turn over 3-4 times, and they still can beat K-State. But to me, that's about their only hope in this game is, one, run the ball, shorten the game, and then force turnovers with their defense, because you can't count on the special teams to provide anything anymore.
Exactly. I mean, I guess last time Texas Tech was in Manhattan, Pat Mahomes was playing quarterback for Texas Tech. Yes. And he did throw a pick six in that one.
Yes, he did.
So let it be known. But, you know, DJ Reed was the one that had the pick six, so I don't exactly feel confident about K-State's defense doing that here to Jet Duffy. And, you know, it's definitely going to take something like that. Here's my biggest concern here, and it's not so much that Alex Delton's playing quarterback. I believe Alex has been improving. It's more so to me the fact that against KU, you know, what worked best for Alex Delton in the offense was when Alex Delton was doing design quarterback runs. And obviously they didn't want him to do that much in the first half. They didn't have any design quarterback runs because Alex Delton's a little bit dinged up right now. But if they want to win, they're going to have to run the quarterback with Alex Delton because that's just what he does. He doesn't throw the ball that well. So he's going to have to run the quarterback. And unfortunately, Texas Tech knows that. They're going to be ready for that. They're going to shut down the quarterback run. I'm sure they're going to have Alex Barnes circled on papers all week. And you're going to have to throw the ball to beat Texas Tech. And unfortunately, I think that Alex Delton is not the answer for that. I think you're going to have to put Skylar Thompson in if you want to win this game. And even then, it's going to take a miracle.
All right, let's shift gears real quick before we let you go and get to the off-the-wall question. K-State men through the first two games, not super impressive, but they did win. I heard Stan on the TV broadcast last night. I thought he was right on point. You know, you should be scoring 75, 80 points or more against these teams at home. Last night, 12 of 27 from the free throw line. You and I have talked about this before when we've had you on, is that K-State, a lot of people look at that Elite Eight run, and we were talking about it before we had you on today, Dusty and I, that K-State, you know, they're defensively, they hang their hat on that. That's how they made their run in the tournament last year. And they never did have a great offensive performance. McGurl bailed them out against Creighton. UMBC wasn't super great offensively. Kentucky, we know that was a slugfest defensively. And they struggled on offense against Loyola. And one of the common problems for Kansas State the last couple of years, despite having everybody back, is that they struggle against zones. And last night, K-State struggled against the zone again, 6 of 27 from 3. Is there any reason for K-State fans to be a little bit concerned or alarmed? Or do you just say, hey, they're going to get this all figured out once Wade feels a little bit more confident and everything else? Because to me, this team struggled offensively at times last year with a healthy Dean Wade. Everybody's back. That's what everybody talks about as a pro, which is great. You have experience, you have everybody back. But there's nobody they added to this equation that makes them better offensively other than Trice can get some maybe offensive rebounds.
Yeah, you know, I think the word concerned is a good one. I think it's too early to be alarmed.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between there, because obviously it's game two, and this is what K-State basketball always does. They always play sluggish against these teams. They always take a few games to get really in gear and get going. So I'm not concerned that this team is going to struggle all year like this or anything like that, you know, have a disastrous season by any means. But also at the same time, what does KU never do? KU never struggles against these kind of teams. I mean, heck, last night they struggled, and what'd they end up winning by?
16
or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they struggled against Vermont and still found a way to win by 16. K-State has struggled, and for once you just want to see a K-State team, especially the number 12 team in the country, come out and just throttle an opponent. You know, take them behind the woodshed and just beat them. But that's not what's happening right now, so personally, I want to see K-State assert itself here. You know, prove to me that you're the better team. There's no reason they shouldn't win the Paradise Jam this coming weekend. I believe they're the best team in the field. But, you know, are they going to execute well? Are they going to shoot well against the zone? Are they going to find a half-court offense that works? You know, this team is only clicking when they get these transition offense buckets off of misses or turnovers. So, you know, like I said, still getting into the season right now, still kind of working out the opening game kinks. So I'm not really worried. You know, K-State women also struggle with that. So it's kind of a trend right now. But also, you're the number 12 team in the country, man. You should be throttling opponents. You should be proving that if you really want to be considered one of the top 10 teams, if you want to play the disrespect card, you shouldn't be surviving a scare against Denver at home.
Yeah, and K-State will be at the Paradise Jam, the Virgin Islands, beginning Friday against Eastern Kentucky. And if I'm the head coach of Eastern Kentucky, I'm playing zone. I'm starting
Absolutely.
Out in zone. I don't know why anybody, unless you're really good man-to-man team, I don't know why you wouldn't start with zone and make K-State beat you over the top, because they really struggle in attacking zone defenses. Very inconsistent in that regard. All right, time for our off-the-wall question. So we're talking about K-State and these players not getting their bowl rings. Riley, do you have any rings? And if so, do you wear them or where are they at?
Oh, yeah, I definitely got rings. Yeah,
I know you have one in particular, but...
I've got three rings. I've got a class ring that I bought when I was a sophomore in high school. That was, in hindsight, that's not a great investment. I didn't know we were going to win a state championship in high school, so I didn't know if I'd have a ring or not. But then, obviously, got the 2014 state championship basketball ring, so that's here in my, well, they're all in my room in Manhattan, and then I also have the 2015 State Sand Greens Golf Championship ring. So,
right.
Yes, I do have rings. I can't say that I wear them. If I go back to St. John's games, I might throw on the basketball one.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say that I frequent my high school state championship rings around Manhattan a whole lot because I think that draws a little bit of attention given how big they are.
So what you're saying is when there's the opportunity, maybe when you come home, you can just kind of have this conversation where you just put your head on your chin on your hand, but just to where that ring somehow miraculously stands out as you ponder what the people that are talking to you are saying, right?
What I've realized is that you need to speak with your right hand a lot.
Oh yes, hand gestures.
Kind of accentuate, you know, get it out there. Show your right hand. Use a lot of hand gestures, and people will say, "Wow, what's that on your hand?" And it's, "Oh, it's my state championship ring." You know, whatever.
I forgot I had that on.
Yeah, I just forgot. Totally forgot.
You know, I like to bling it up. What can I say? That's what I do. That's what I do.
I might put it on here in a few. Hopefully, I get to come back for a few games over December because K-State only plays basketball games on Saturdays in the month of December, really.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't anticipate covering a bowl game. So maybe I'll get to come back for a few games. We'll see.
There you go. Sounds like a plan. All right. Let everybody know where they can read your work, buddy.
Yeah, just head over to GoPowerCat.com. We're obviously, like we mentioned, the ring story. That's up there. And obviously is the number one story on our site right now. It's been, trending. But, you know, we got five pieces up from last night's basketball games. And we'll have a ton of football stuff this week and also basketball. And kind of coming down the home stretch here in football. And so basketball's starting to ramp up a little bit. But we're still covering them both equally and excited to keep putting stuff out.
As always, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Take care, man.
All right, man. Thanks, Wade.
That's Riley Gates. He is our K-State Insider, brought to you each and every week here on the Sports Ticket by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.